Hi, this is Pastor Steve. Thanks so much for tuning in today. At the start of this message, we are actually going to have a song led by our Pastor Bradley. He's going to lead us in Hosanna. Feel free to sing along with him. Thank you, Pastor Bradley, for leading us in that song. I hope that you are ready to sit back and listen to what God has in store for you. I'm going to be preaching from John chapter 12 today. So if you have your Bible, I encourage you to go ahead and go to your Bible, John chapter 12. I'm going to be reading a rather lengthy part of John chapter 12, but if you get your Bible ready for when I share, that would be great. The title of the message for the next couple of weeks is Our Response. I wonder how you've been responding. And we're going to talk about our response to the triumphal entry on April 5 is Palm Sunday. And we're not going to have kids waving palm branches at your house, though you could do that if you'd like. And then on Easter Sunday, we're attempting to have an online service airing at 10 o'clock on Easter Sunday that you can, it'll be actually a video that you will be able to watch and tune in on. And so please be paying attention. I'll try to send an email out about that next week and probably on Thursday or so, and then get that information to you how you can access that. But our response, Easter Sunday, our response to the resurrection. How should our response be? A couple of weeks back, I was actually sitting at our campground on the west side of town, and I began to look at what I felt God would want us to look into this Easter season. Obviously, the events of the last few weeks have taken us by storm, maybe kind of like the storm that we had this last couple of days with the snow coming and the wind blowing. Some of us have been quite scared. Some of us have been like, what's the big deal? And we've been bothered little. We have each had different responses. I wanted to look how people responded to the triumphal entry of Jesus riding into Jerusalem. And then on Easter Sunday, we're going to look at how people responded to the resurrection. What is your response to our culture? And what is your response to the triumphal entry in light of what is happening in our culture right now? I want to encourage you, take your minds off of the virus. And may our eyes be put heavenward for the next few moments. Would you take a moment to do that with me? I want to read from John chapter 12 now. And I'm going to start at verse 12, and I'm going to go through verse 26. If you'd follow along, I'm reading from the ESV version. You may have another version and be very similar to what I'm going to read. John chapter 12, verse 12. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone out after him." Verse 20. Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it. And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." I'm going back in John, and I'm picking up on the triumphal entry. We are responders. Some of us are quick responders. We're quick to laugh. We're quick to say, uh-huh. Some of us, we take quite a while. We ponder. We rest. We don't even actually give any verbal cues. Some of us respond in ways that we have been taught to respond. Some of us respond just automatically. But we are all responders. It started off early for us. We responded to being born. We have an inborn ability to respond to being hungry and cold and tired, and we respond. And we responded when we were babies by crying, saying, I'm hungry. If you're a new parent, oh man, you know when your child is hungry. As we grow, we learn to respond as others tell us no or yes. And sometimes we take on different responses. We may have responded one way, but we've changed our ways. We respond in one way, but we realize it's not the best way, so we change our response. We continue with a certain response sometimes because of what someone does or does not say. I wonder if you'd be willing and you'd respond to this question, this encouragement. Would you be willing to invite someone to our Easter service online? We're hoping to have that on at 10 a.m. on April 12th. I wonder if you'd be willing to ask somebody to the service online. They may choose to come to a service online instead of being in a church building. How have you responded to the triumphal entry? And I want to look at those associated with the triumphal entry and see how they responded and that how that impacts our lives. The first one I want you to see is the crowd responded. The crowd responded. In verse 12, the text calls it a large crowd. Now, we're unsure of exactly how large the crowd really was. Though it was the feast, and there were many in Jerusalem because of this. We are told not to gather right now. We're told to stay away and 6 feet from everyone. And these large crowds that some of you love to be a part of are not happening. Some go to a racetrack. If you're familiar with the racetrack at all, there's a Bristol racetrack that can seat 146,000 people to watch a race. Some possibly go to a basketball game. The Final Four was going to happen, and it was going to happen in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, Georgia. It's not happening now. That was going to hold 71,000 people. The Masters Golf Tournament that's supposed to be going on right in the next week or so is not happening, at least at this point in time. 35,000 to 40,000 people are at the Masters Tournament when it happens. Some have said that it could have been as many as 2.7 million people at the feast. Did they all gather? I'm not sure if they all were there, but the crowd was large. I wonder if you're a part of the large crowd. Some of you love crowds, and this time is bothering you a great bit. Some of you are like, I don't need to be in a large crowd at all. And so this time of social distancing is like, yeah, this is good. Some of you gather around Jesus in large crowd. You're wondering about Hills Alive. You're wondering if that's going to be able to happen or not, because you just love to be with tens of thousands of people singing and just being around. This event was known by the disciples. The prophet had foretold these events. And may I remind you that our Bible has foretold us about events that are happening even now. Don't be surprised by them. Many heard that Jesus was coming, is what verse 12 says. Let me remind you that Jesus has said, and it is recorded in the Bible, he is coming again. Are you ready for his coming? Be ready. You respond. Do you respond as the loud crowd responded at this point in time? The second thing I want you to see is some praised Jesus. Some praised Jesus. Of the people of the large crowd, there were some that praised Jesus. They took palm branches and waved them in the air. As I've mentioned, this seems weird or hard for us to understand because we don't have palm trees here. And even if we did, we probably wouldn't be waving them around. If somebody came into your house or stood outside your house right now or outside your car and was waving a palm branch, you'd look at them and say, "What are you doing? Don't do that. That's weird." But I want to remind you that in the Old Testament, there are palm branches mentioned in some of their gatherings. And here, as we think about Palm Sunday, you think about palm branches. And though we're not having kids file in and out of the sanctuary this morning with palm branches, you can think of the palm branches. And as a reminder, if you look in Revelation, there's palm branches that will be used in Revelation. some of them praising Jesus. No doubt in this large crowd, there were some who didn't want to wave a palm branch. Maybe that's one of you. We let the kids do it, but don't ask me to wave a palm branch. But there were some that did wave the palm branches. Other gospels tell us that even some laid down their coats. They were praising Jesus by laying down their coats. Again, this seems weird. I don't want my coats stepped on. I mean, I don't want to lay it down and get dirty, but I sure don't want to lay down and let a donkey go over it. Do you know what donkeys do? Sometimes donkeys stop, and when they stop, then there are some things that come out of donkeys that I don't want on my coat. But these people laid their coats down, and they praised Jesus because of the respect. I wonder if you are one of the praisers. Do you respond to Jesus in praise, even when it may seem a bit of out of place or out of your comfort zone? I wonder if you're like these people, or were you some of the crowd that just kind of looked on? This is a difficult time for us, possibly, to show that we're praising Jesus because we're not part of a large crowd, but we're in our homes. Continue to praise Jesus, even in your home. What does it look like for you? The third thing I want you to see is the disciples did not understand. The disciples responded in this way. They did not understand. Did you see this in verse 16? His disciples did not understand these things at first. This is actually not one that I really enjoy. These disciples, they were the closest to Jesus, and they didn't understand these things at first. It actually wasn't until Jesus was glorified. Why does it seem that maybe some of the hardest to understand are the ones that have been following Jesus the longest? Some of you are not like this, and Jesus draws you closer and you understand so much. But there are some of us that struggle to understand, even when we have walked with Jesus a long time. Why not trust? Why not believe? Why not understand? Maybe because our eyes are not open to what Jesus is really up to. Maybe you've been really hard to understand what's going on in our world. I think God is trying to draw us closer to Him, even when we can't be close with one another. Maybe He's wanting you to understand, but maybe you've been like the disciples and not understanding, and you've complained. You've been wondering what in the world's going on. Why can't I find flour down the aisle in the store? Why can't I find the flour or other things? In defense of us and the disciples, they did get it. They just didn't get it at first. I encourage you, may you be the one to respond in trust and understanding of Almighty God. May you understand today. May you understand that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Are you understanding what is happening in God's plan? I'm not saying the end times are here, but we have some understanding of the end times according to scriptures. It says there's going to be wars and earthquakes and all kinds of things. I'm assuming you know there was an earthquake in Boise, Idaho in recent days. And we are unaware of other things happening in our world because of COVID-19 has dominated our screens and our radio broadcasts. May you be looking into the deeper things of God and know what He is doing and respond and trust. The fourth responder I want you to see is Lazarus, rememberers bore witness. It's kind of a tough one there, but I'll explain it here in a moment. The Lazarus rememberers bore witness. There's another interesting comment from John in his gospel of people at the triumphal entry. He chooses to bring up and mention the people who would witness Lazarus being brought back from the dead. Let me go back for just a moment and recall that story. John chapter 11, just a chapter earlier. Lazarus is ill. Mary and Martha call for Jesus. Lazarus dies. Jesus comes anyway, though maybe not as quickly. Jesus does come. He goes to the tomb and He brings back Lazarus from the dead. Actually, I think Those are some of the best words in all of Scripture when he says, Lazarus, come out. I wonder what Lazarus heard, or did he hear some murmuring, but Lazarus came out. But we see here in chapter 12 that it wasn't just Lazarus that was there, because these people who had seen Lazarus risen from the dead was with the crowd. They were there and they were continuing to bear witness. What did they bear witness about? They bore witness of Lazarus coming forth. They were the murmurers. They murmured things about Jesus, and they were good murmurers. Now, some of us think murmuring might be more negative, but maybe we can be murmurers for Jesus. This was positive murmuring. They were sharing good things. The people who saw what took place continued to bear witness of what had happened in Lazarus' life. Do you remember what Christ has done for you? Then do you bear witness of that? May we bear witness of God's working, maybe even in your own life. In the last few days, you could say, this is what God has done, and you can bear witness to somebody else of what God has done. The fifth person, or the fifth point that I want to bring of somebody that responded was Jesus. Jesus rode on a donkey. He responded in the triumphal entry. Obviously, Jesus responded to all of this. He was willing to put himself up on a donkey and allow people to worship him and glorify him. People, I don't think, knew this, and some didn't even know this, but I believe Jesus wasn't seeking his own glory. He was seeking the glory of God and how that could be shared. Now, Jesus could have hidden out. He did that on occasions. He snuck through the crowd according to scriptures. He avoided or stayed away from people's at times. He also made himself available at times. There were a number of times, though, that he and the disciples went away and the crowd followed them and he turned and he ministered to them. Now hear me in this. We should not be like Jesus. People should not worship us. However, some of us are like Jesus in the fact that some follow you and want to chat with you about godly things. Make yourself available to people so they can glorify God instead of hiding. Now, you don't have to go get on a donkey. I'm not asking you to do that. Now, if that would be helpful, then go do that. Jesus responded by being on a donkey. You can do good works, and others can see what God is doing in your life. The sixth group are the Greeks. All sought him, even the Greeks. All sought him, even the Greeks. During the triumphal entry, there were some others that were at the feast as well. Who were they? They were the Greeks. They wanted to see Jesus. The Greeks wanted to find out new things. A Greek was a seeker after truth. It was not unusual to find a Greek to pass from one philosopher to another philosopher, or from one religion to another religion, or from one teacher to another teacher to seek truth. And so it's not unusual. But you know what they said? Here's what they said. Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Maybe this is you. You are hungering for knowledge, but you know you want to see Jesus. Maybe they were curious. Maybe they just wanted to see him. Maybe they wanted to talk to him. Maybe you're like the Greeks. You went from place to place, from teacher to teacher, from searching to seeking. You've went from religion to religion. Let me ask you to respond to the eternal truth, and that is Jesus. He is the one you have been looking for. I'm reminded of Acts chapter 17. Paul is in Athens, and he's looking around, and he says this in verse 22. Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious, for as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. But then he goes on to say in verses 23 to 28, for I passed along verse 24. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. Verse 28, in him we live and move and have our being. And even some of your own poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring. Maybe you've been wondering, searching just like the Greeks. Let me share with you Jesus Christ. Why did the Greeks go to Jesus? Philip is a Greek name, and maybe they thought he would be sympathetic to them. Philip wasn't sure what to do, so he went to Andrew. And Andrew was the one that Jesus would not turn anyone away. He knew that Jesus would not turn anyone away. Maybe you are the one to talk to who somebody's searching for truth. Don't back down, but lead them to the Lord. Are there others around you that aren't the normal seekers of Jesus? Can you provide for them information that would push them closer to God? If Jesus was coming, what would you do? How would you respond? On this day, Jesus came into Jerusalem. The large crowd gathered. The large crowd worshiped him. There were some that praised him by palm branches and laying their coats down. The disciples, those who were closest, didn't understand. Lazarus, the people who remembered what took place, bore witness. Jesus responded by being on a donkey. The Greeks who were there said, "We want to see Jesus." We get to respond to the triumphal entry in a different way today. Today, kids aren't waving branches in our service, but may you respond to the triumphal entry in praise. On April 12th, most sanctuaries around our country, Easter Sunday, will be emptied, but we can still respond with praise. Do you just respond like the crowd? Do you praise Jesus even now? Do you not understand? Do you bear witness? Do you make yourselves available to share the joy you have? Do you seek him? May you seek and to glorify his name right now. Pray with me, please. Lord Jesus, thank you for riding in to Jerusalem on the donkey on that day so many years ago. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless your name today. And as our world is responding to what's happening right now, I pray that we would respond to you, that we would give praise to you. If others would seek us, that we would point them to you, that we wouldn't shrink away from fear of talking about you, but that we would talk about you. May we praise your name. It may not be with palm branches, but it is definitely through our lives. And so, God, on this Palm Sunday weekend, I pray that we would praise your name, that we would look deep into our hearts and say yes to you. And if we have been searching and seeking and going from religion to religion, we'd say, but I can believe in Almighty God, and we would do that today. Thank you, God, for loving us. Continue to be with us all April. May we honor your name in all that we do and say. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. As mentioned, Pastor Bradley is going to share with us another piece of music. Feel free to sing along and be looking next week as we hope to give you that online service opportunity next Sunday, Easter Sunday, April 12th at 10 a.m. God bless you.
Glorious light, that we may sing the wonders of the risen Christ. May our every breath retell the grace that broke into our strife with boundless love and deepest joy within. the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad. All your blessing comes. We may praise the name of Jesus. All the earth is yours and harvest is your own, and from your hand we give to you to make Christ known. May the seeds of mercy grow in us for those who have not heard. May songs of praise build lives of grace to spread your word. May the praise you. Let the nations be glad. All your blessing comes. We may praise the name of Jesus. It's our holy privilege to declare your praises and your name. Every nation, tribe, and tongue, your church proclaim. May the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad. All your blessing comes. We may praise the name.